Because every time we touch, I get this feeling. And every time we kiss, I swear I can fly. Let me be your heartbeat now. I want us to last. I need you by my side. Because every time we touch, it gets real spooky. And every time we touch, it's almost Halloween.
Freddie Mercury really went out on top.
Freddie Mercury?
Yeah.
Is that Freddie Mercury?
That was Freddie Mercury.
Because every time, isn't it Cascada or something like that?
Sure. I tell you what it's not. It's not the Weirdzilla podcast, a very casual bi-weekly podcast where we discuss bizarre, slightly disturbing, and all around silly things for the possible sake of entertainment. I'm Josh. You are Marcus. And it is the most spookiest time of the year. You were very close to telling me that I shot my shot too early at the beginning of our meeting this evening because I was excited to share the season's greetings with you. And then you said, "You idiot! You don't say things." Ah.
You just did a very funny bit, and I was like, "We're not recording. You got to save it. We can't be funny outside of the podcast. It's not worth it."
Oh, I've been wasting so much content then.
Yeah, I was proud of you. I was like, "Wow, that's
so much good, crisp content right down the pooper." Because we weren't on air.
What is our friendship if it's not on air? That's all I gotta say.
I hope it's something of substance.
I think so.
Personally,
I think it's good.
Do you think so? You'd tell me if it wasn't, right? If 100%. It wasn't working out.
100%. I was thinking about as our friendship has been growing because of the podcast, I'm like, yeah, I like Josh. I invite him. Next time I have a birthday thing, I'm going to invite you.
Even if that was a joke, what you just said.
It's not a joke. Would it's hope, sincere.
That's insane. But I would hope that you would know that I would do my best to make an appearance.
Wow.
Whatever that means.
It would probably be virtual still.
Do you think so?
I think so. I'm not going to probably have something in person. It's just easy to be like, be weird. Yeah. Here you go. Everyone's right there. Yeah.
Well, at that point, then I would just feel like a cheap add-on. But anyway, enough of the personal garbage. Dude, you got to tell me. You're Halloween. What? You're a young boy. You're a young boy, Marcus.
Okay.
You're like
baby boy Bodegas. Like, let's go.
Well, hang on. I didn't finish setting up the scenario.
I'm ready. I'm just saying I'm ready.
You're a ripe, crisp age of 8 and a half, maybe 13. Uh-huh. And you look your parents in the eyes, both together and separately, and you say, "I'd like to go trick-or-treating." Did you go trick-or-treating? Are you a fan of the spooks? What was the childhood Halloween experience like? It's October. We're in the thick of it.
First off, let me say, spot on impersonation of me as 8 years old.
I know.
I don't know how you do you have a time machine? Did you?
We're connected, man. You and I.
Observe me as a child.
We got a thing.
Were
going.
We neighbors? Like, because that was perfect.
Thank you. So are you?
What you ask? What's my Halloween costume?
Oh my god! No, I said your childhood Halloween experience. Were you guys a trick or treating family? Did you just go to friend's house? Did you go to a Pizza Hut in a bowling alley like my family?
Oh.
Did you get razor blades? What are you into?
Here's what we did. We did the same thing every year. Every year trick or treating was the same. It was perfect. We would drive to the nice area of the Bronx. And we would go trick-or-treating over there because they had good candy. And so we would go along the block. It was one long stretch of blocks. So we just go follow that whole stretch, knock on all the houses that had Halloween decorations, get our little sacks full of candy. And then one house, always every single year, gave a tape, like an old cassette tape, of Christmas carols. So every year we just got a new Christmas carol cassette tape from this old lady.
So if you were a betting man, why do you think that was the go-to Halloween gift for the kiddies? A personalized Christmas mixtape?
I think she was just really into Christmas and wanted to join in on the celebration of something. And so she was like, you know what? While you're celebrating your thing, I'll celebrate my thing.
The celebration of something. What a quote. I mean, she's probably then, just... Go ahead.
You
go.
Oh, I was going to say, and then at the end, there was this huge house in the Bronx. It's, I don't know, I don't think it's famous outside the Bronx, but where you would, there was just all these mannequins and stuff like that, and they always decorated for Christmas, and it had a bunch of lights. It was so cool and magical as a kid. And now as an adult, I watched like a news segment on the house. It's creepy as fuck.
What's the origins of the house? What was
so the deal? There is just someone who lives in the house that collects mannequins and like life-size dolls and stuff. And they just have them all in the house. The house is full of them. And outside of the house is full of like all these like weird mannequins that are dressed up for the occasion.
So that's an interesting point. And I'm not making this up. This isn't just a casual riff, so get that out of your head once and for all. There is also a house relatively close to where I live, and by relatively close, I guess I mean within 10 miles, where, to my knowledge, they are decorated for Halloween time all year round. They have like at least two or three concerning looking mannequins, you know, that look fit for the Halloween time. You know, their house seems insistent upon it being a part of the spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, people that want to have, you know, the scary stuff all year long, that's a dedication, I guess.
Oh, sorry, this is a Christmas house.
What the heck? So why did you let me go on that long?
Because it was interesting. At the end of the road, you like ended. You ended the. It was like tradition. You ended the trick or treating and the Halloween season with the Christmas house, and it was there. Wait, and you wait, like wait. Looked at it, and it was cool. I sent you an article about it.
So the mannequin house was Christmas themed.
It was usually Christmas themed, but I sent you the article. So look at the picture.
I saw the article. But I'm not looking
picture.
At it now.
Look at the picture real gosh, quick. Fine, we'll fine, go fine, over fine, it fine. With the fans. Okay. If you guys want to find it, it's called the Bronx Christmas House. And you can find an article from the Gothamist with a couple pictures.
Seems a little too on the nose if you ask me. But anyway,
it's creepy.
Gothamist Christmas
House. And the chipmunks are there too for no reason.
Holy crap. All right, hang on.
It's not like, you see what I'm saying? It's not like super Christmas. It's like there's angels and a nativity scene, but it's not like Christmas specific. Oh, there's Santa Claus. I guess it's Christmas specific.
This, I feel like this is the person that owns this place, with all due respect, seems like the kind of person that obviously enjoys what they're doing as far as the collection, the spectacle, but they're never going to have a conversation with you. Do you think that's an okay assumption?
They never, ever, ever once of my many years trick-or-treating and ending my trick-or-treating session at this house, never once came out.
Yeah, that checks out.
Or gave candy. And that's fine. It's fine.
That's fine.
It's fine.
That's fine. Because the truth of the matter is, they were probably centaurs. But anyway, last thing, spooky season, we're into scary movies. You like the necks, you like the hairs on the back of your necks to stand on edge. You're a fan of the blood. You're a fan of the screams.
Hell yeah.
What have you been watching? Anything? Because we have watched nothing, and we are like 2 weeks away from a big November.
What? I've been just only watching horror content. Like, that is, Halloween is my one time that I can convince my girlfriend to watch horror movies all day, every day, every night, and on the weekends. That is.
Doesn't your brain turn to mush, though?
It's beautiful. My brain's already mush, man. I've been doing this for years. When I'm alone, I watch
for years.
I watch horror movies. That's the main thing I watch when I'm by myself.
Bless you.
So,
what's you been watching? What's been the top?
We are preparing ourselves for the new Halloween Kills movie.
I've heard it's fine
because we're doing that over on our other podcasts. And
yes.
So I wanted to remind myself of the content of the other movies. It's good. They're good movies.
I've only seen the first one, John Carpenter's Halloween. Obviously, I think they technically retconned, as the kids say, the other movies. And then, yes, correct me if I'm wrong, the 2018 is technically Halloween 2.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'd like to see it. Hasn't happened yet. I think, did we watch that last year? I can't remember if we watched it last year or not, but we watched Child's Play. Have we ever talked about that? Like the 2017 or 2018
reboot. I did not like that movie.
Chucky.
Yeah.
It was too on the nose with modern day.
I agree. It was like, technology is here and it's going to kill you.
That's pretty scary.
AI. And it's like, Our artificial intelligence destroying us all is not what makes Chucky scary.
What if it was Mark Hamill?
I hated it. It was like you missed the whole point of Chucky. You made Chucky not fun. And I'm that sorry. Is all it should be.
I didn't mean it.
How dare you? You did it.
I'm sorry. So you're watching Josh, the Halloweens. So what?
Tell me Ooh. More. Tell me about why we're here.
We're here because obviously it's the spookiest time of the year, as I said up top, and then you told me to shut up. But obviously, so you know, cat's out of the bag. We're going to be talking about some very haunted things. We're going to be talking about ghouls and specters and creeps. Probably not because I didn't collect that stuff, but maybe you did. but again, alas, lest you think we were out of the woods, lest you think that we were going to take one step further into this podcast without a Halloween haiku, you're a fool. You're a darn dirty fool. I see the tears Why? Streaming down from your eyes.
I always forget that this is a segment.
I know.
And
it brings you joy.
It brings me joy.
Okay.
I'm ready we'll just to dive hear it.
All right. Did you put on your witch's hat and mm-hmm. you're stirring your witch's mm-hmm. brew that I referenced earlier in the week? You ready? Okay. If you want candy, at least put on a costume, stupid teenagers. Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's themed. It's themed.
I like it.
So enough with that. Enough fun. We're talking about spooks. We're talking about haunted places and all that nature. So originally, I think we had talked about just haunted places in general. And you might think, well, that's kind of cliche and not out of the box. Well, you might be right, but this is the perfect time to talk about it because it's October. So it's going to happen. I will say, so I have two main stories-ish, and I wanted to go out of the box a little bit.
Okay.
You're thinking haunted sanatorium? No. Haunted insane asylum? You ding-dong. That's too specific. That's too normal. I went with haunted restaurants.
I honestly was hoping you would say haunted toilet. I was hoping you just There's for some reason found haunted restrooms across America and you were like, yes, this is my story.
Haunted restrooms.
Gosh, while you're reading, I might look up haunted restrooms to see if it's a thing.
You should. I think I might have lied though. Let me double. Okay. So one of them, it has to do with a restaurant. The other one has to do with a mall. So haunted mall is pretty good.
I'm excited.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I have two smaller pieces, just a good cud to chew on. I said cud.
What's cut?
Like that stuff that cows chew on, like they're always chewing on.
You are from the farmland, and I don't know what cut is.
I don't know.
I'm a city boy, okay? I'm a city slicker.
Yeah, from the Bronx. We get it. Why don't you kick us off?
Wait, I was going to say you kick us off. I have two ones, and one is super long.
Okay.
So I figured maybe you could start us off with one.
All right, so we're going to tune in. To Rachel from New Jersey.
Unless you want to hear about haunted bathrooms, because I have a haunted bathrooms article ready to go.
Oh my gosh. Would you want to kick us off with haunted bathrooms?
Let's just kick us off with haunted bathrooms.
I'm ready. I'm ready to get scared. I'm shaking.
America's most haunted bathrooms. Add a little boo to your number two.
All right.
Bathrooms are usually a great source for funny material. They don't call it potty humor for nothing. But if you think about it, whenever you're in the bathroom, you're usually in a vulnerable state. It'd be a perfect time for, say, a ghost or specter to pop up and scare the poop out of you. Here's our guide to America's haunted, spooky, and downright creepy bathrooms. Let's start with number one, Queen Anne Hotel in San Francisco. This Victorian bed and breakfast used to be a girls' finishing school, and legend has it that the headmistress is still looming around, showing up in mirrors. Yeah, that's fun to think about when you have to... There's a lot of, side notes to the reader that I'm not going to read anymore.
I agree.
Showing up in mirrors. If you're brave, try staying in room 410, the Miss Mary Lake Suite. The folks at the Old Man Hotel claim that the joint is haunted by numerous ghosts, including Clark Gable and his wife, Carol Lombard, who were frequent guests after spending their first married night here, and a drunk Irish miner named Odie, who likes to play the bagpipes, open windows, yank the sheets off beds, and flush toilets randomly.
Mm.
Spooky stuff. I know the article said that you don't want to be scared while you're pooping because it's a very vulnerable place to be in. But there's been times when I'm sitting on the toilet and I am stuck there and I know that it's going to be a long one. Like, it's going to be a long session. I get on TikTok and I'm just scrolling through and I'm like, let's camp out here for a little talking. Bit. I'm talking. Okay. It would be nice if I could hit a button on the toilet and scare the poop out of me. Like, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's not where I thought you were going to go with that. That is admirable, though, that you're willing to go to such extremes to empty out your gourd.
Maybe that's a service we could offer. Like, instead of Ghostbusters, we could be, like, ghost poopers or something.
I was going to say ghost pushers. Is that close enough?
That's better. That's better. We definitely need to workshop the name. Guys, if you have an idea for a better name, email it to us. weirdzillapodcast@gmail.com.
Watch that be the one that gets us a flood of unwarranted replies.
Okay, that's all I'm gonna read about ghost poops. That's good. It's not that interesting.
Well, you know, you're never gonna know unless if you try. So anyway, all right. So this is gonna be much more interesting, at least 2% more interesting out of 100. This is Rachel from New Jersey. You might know Rachel because you're in New Jersey.
I am in New Jersey, and I know a Rachel.
Do you think this is her?
I'm gonna ask her tomorrow when I see her at work.
Okay, here we go. And I quote. So the name of this story is, or at least the title is, "Just a Local Haunt." So take that for what you will. When she was in school, Rachel in New Jersey worked a historic inn's restaurant. On a Saturday afternoon, she answered a call from a guest who'd visited the restaurant that weekend. The caller said she was there on Saturday, then asked whether there were any reported hauntings in the building. Intrigued and spurred on by the rumors she'd heard while working there, Rachel asked for more detail. In no uncertain terms, the caller stated that, during her visit, she'd encountered a ghost. The caller explained that on their way out, she and her friend stopped to use the restroom. As they entered the room, they stopped in their tracks. Before them stood two little girls in pioneer-era clothing, staring at each other and giggling. The little girls paid the women no mind, and the women proceeded towards the toilets. Suddenly, the giggling stopped. The women looked back to where the girls were standing, and nobody was there. The caller said that she and her friend asked their husbands, who were there waiting outside the washroom door, whether they'd seen anyone come out. They reported that they'd seen nobody coming or going since the two women went in. Rachel and the caller discussed possible theories, and Rachel ended the call saying that she'd mentioned the children to her manager. Rachel's manager didn't entertain the caller's tale, but Rachel remained too frightened to use the washroom the caller had spoken about. Weeks passed, and the story of the little girls had become a topic of conversation among Rachel's coworkers. One day, another hostess approached Rachel. The coworker said that she'd shared the story of the little girls with her mother, who was a regular customer at the inn's restaurant. She told Rachel that, when she had told the story to her mother, her mother turned pale with fear and told her a story of her own. Her mother's story was that, about 10 years prior, she and a friend used the same restroom the caller had spoken about. The women entered the restroom to find themselves face to face with the ghostly woman, and the woman asked whether they'd seen her two little girls.
Spooky. Have you seen my two little girls?
So not only do I think that that's exactly verbatim what happened, my one main note on this, per our conversation a few seconds ago about bathrooms, was that regardless of the first woman telling her tale about going to the bathroom, the two little girls, they report that the women proceeded towards the toilets. after seeing the two little girls in Pioneer era outfitting, giggling at each other, staring in each other's eyes. And it just never, you know, it never ceases to amaze me the extents to which people will go to poop. You know what I'm saying? There's ghosts, there's ghouls in the room, but pay no mind. I have to poop and pooping will be done.
I 100% understand that. I don't think there's a situation in which something would get in the way of me pooping. When your tummy starts rubbling, you gotta get going. You gotta go.
After a Sonic breakfast.
A Sonic? Oh, the restaurant?
The restaurant, yeah.
I thought you meant the hedgehog. I was like,
eating Sonic the Hedgehog for breakfast? We can do that
after
too.
After I eat Sonic the Hedgehog for breakfast, as the poops come a rolling. The poops come shooting right out.
Gross, like lava.
Like lava. No, I've had situations where I didn't think I was going to make it. I've never pooped myself before, other than obviously when I was a baby.
Sure, yes, right.
But I've never pooped myself, so But I understand. I was watching a horror movie recently, speaking of Halloween, and the second Halloween movie, the 2018 movie, she's one of the characters is using the bathroom, and then Michael Myers comes and kills her. Mike Myers, the actor, Austin Powers. He comes and kills her, and I was like, nothing would stop me from taking that shit. Like, once it starts, it doesn't stop. Like, that poop is coming out.
Do you really believe that, though? Like, Hang on. I believe and understand that the poop is coming regardless. I get that part. But my question, it then begs the question, okay, but does that mean you're staying on the toilet while Mike Myers, the actor, is coming to kill you? Or are you getting up and running while pooping, but also not dying because you're making a getaway?
I stayed silent so that we could make a clip of that because it's funny.
Very good. Your wish is my command.
But also, I think I would use my dirty butthole in self-defense against the killer. Because
that's a t-shirt.
Yes, they want him. I would love that shirt. I would be play into it, be like, oh, I'm covered in poopy. You don't want to kill me. Oh, I'm so dirty and full of poopy. And they're like, oh, God, this guy's fucking weird.
I don't think you're full of poopy at that point, though. You leaked it all over the floor as you Daddy, waddled out of the room.
I'm full of poopy. I need to be wiped. And then they won't murder me.
I don't know. I think it's a 50-50 shot, man.
That's what I'm doing if I get murdered on the toilet.
No questions asked. I believe you. Holy cow. Oh.
Okay, my turn. Yeah. I've got a story for you, bud. Okay.
I'll wait here.
Wait while I Google a story. Hold on.
What? Oh,
just kidding. No, I have it.
You're gross.
Okay. Here it is. This is the one I was kind of telling you about and the one that inspired the episode. Not the article I sent you. This is a different... Oh. This is a quick story I was telling you. You look like you're going to say something.
Sorry, I did. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm going to anyway. We should mention the one that you sent because I don't think that's a...
I'm going to read that one next.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. Yeah, shut up. See what happens when I go out of my way to speak. It's so embarrassing. Go ahead.
Okay, this one, though, is first. A haunted house actor wanted to scare a child, then he cut the boy with a knife, police say. An actor at a haunted house at Cuyahoga County Fairgrounds in Ohio accidentally stabbed an 11-year-old boy with a real knife earlier this month, police said. With Halloween coming up, spooky attractions are popping up across the country. But at an Ohio haunted house, the promise to provide a uniquely terrifying experience became all too real after one of the actors got a little too much into character.
By bringing a real knife to set?
By bringing...
Is that what you're going to say?
A real knife. He's method. That's what it is. He's just
no,
method.
No, that's a psychopath, I'm afraid.
In hope of scaring those who dared walk through the seven floors of hell haunted house at the Cayuga County Fairgrounds, an actor wielded a real knife this month to up the scare factor. The end result, he stabbed an 11-year-old boy in the foot, according to the
in
police.
In the foot?
Karen Bednarski, the boy's mother, of course named Karen, told the Washington Post on Sunday that her son Frank had arrived at a popular horror attraction in Berea, Ohio, on September 18th with his sister and some family friends. They were walking over to one of the five haunted houses at Seven Floors of Hell when the actor, identified as 22-year-old Christopher Pogozelski, approached them and tried to scare them. It was all fun and games until the knife he carried proved to be real. He was scraping the knife on the ground and playing around with them, Bednarski said. My son said to him, I'm not afraid. Your knife is fake. So the man was like, oh, it's real. Trust me, it's real. And that's when he started poking it at his feet multiple times until he stabbed him. Police said Pogozelski has been charged with negligent assault, a third-degree misdemeanor. According to police report obtained by the Post, the 22-year-old admitted to authorities who confiscated the weapon that using the knife was not a good idea. Pogozelski did not immediately respond to requests for comment from the Post on Sunday, and it's unclear whether he has an attorney. Rodney Geffert, president of Night Scream Entertainment, which owns the attraction, told the Post that Pogozelski was fired after the incident. Geffert said, the actor was upset over what happened and apologized nonstop. It was not intentional, Geffert said. The actor stayed at the boy's side the whole time. Oh, Geffert said that while playing while Pogozelski was working, the actor went to his car to take out the Bowie knife, a weapon named after Jim Bowie, a prominent knife fighter who died in the Alamo. While Geffert and Bednarski said the knife was dull, Bureau Police Lieutenant Tom Walker told the Post in a written message that the 12-inch blade was sharp enough to cut and cause injury, cutting through the boy's pair of red Crocs. I'm not going to bother reading the rest of the article because it's just more details that we don't actually need. But there's a picture of the foot. It doesn't look that bad. It does look like he cut him a little bit and he shouldn't have. But maybe that's because the Crocs protected him.
Now, that's not true. Number one, Crocs offer no protection and they're overpriced. I'll go to the grave with that opinion. It's a hot take, I know, but regardless.
Hold on, before you continue. Regardless. Crocs, if you want to sponsor us and give us both a pair of Crocs each to test out.
I will wear them to the grave.
We will wear them and we will change our opinion. But for now, we are anti-Croc podcast.
Anti-Croc, but we love Spock. Anyway, my question is, presuming that you said this is a haunted house.
Yes.
So my head goes to, all right, it's dark, it's atmospheric, it's moody. They don't want me to see a lot. For ultimate spook factor. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
Yeah.
So why does it matter if the knife is real or not, seeming as visibility is low? And it doesn't matter. Now, of course, the little kid's going to say, oh, it's not a real knife because I'm 12 years old and too smart for you. I know what real life is like. Well, in that scenario, Gobble Goochman or whatever his name was, of course he got the last laugh because he did indeed bring a real knife. But like, I guess, I don't know.
And I understand again, what you're saying. You're saying like, if you can't see the knife anyway, what does it matter whether it's fake or
what
not?
What does it matter? You just wanted to bring a weapon to your job.
It's about confidence.
Okay.
I think his job is acting and he's bad at it. So he needed the reality of having the knife present to really give him the confidence he needed to scare other people.
Well, you say he's bad at it, and with all due respect, I would agree with you, not because of the story, but because you're in the zone, you're method acting in this haunted house, you're trying to get the kids' money's worth by scaring them. I don't think this is speaking out of turn by saying I don't think any real ghoul or haunted man would reply to the taunt of your knife isn't real. I think they would just stab you repeatedly and not say, oh, yeah, it is. So, yes, poor acting indeed.
This is a 22-year-old who should be aware enough to not stab a little kid who's the taunting him.
Yeah, yeah. The foot's an interesting one, too. And then you said scraping the floor. Okay, sure. Like, oh, hands, yeah. You know, nails on this. Like, I get sure. that. But, like, yeah, that's wild, man.
No, it's like going to a paintball range and just bringing a gun. And being like, oh, it's real. I brought a real gun. I don't know. I thought this is what we were doing. I missed the message somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was going to say something. And then your paintball joke distracted me.
I'm sorry.
No, it's so good. Oh, what was I going to say? I'll give myself 5 seconds. 2, 3, 4. That made it worse. I got nervous. You say something. One more thing about the thing, and then we'll move on.
Maybe one more thing about this.
Yeah,
I was thinking that. So I can think. This I don't guy. Really care
about what you're saying? This
what
is
kind of check
think.
Do you do on an actor? Talking. Do you have them send you a resume of their previous performances? What qualifies someone to act in a haunted
okay.
house?
What I are think auditions I remembered. Like? I think I That's remembered what I was going to say. So I'm going to cut you off. So this is going to be, I don't think this is kind to say, but I'll say it anyway. And it's not even worth how long it took me to remember it. So I'm just going to disappoint all of us. When you had originally shared the title, I'm not even sure if it was the title or whatever, the headline that you said at the beginning, that the kid got stabbed at the haunted house. I was like, oh no, a serial killer worked at the haunted house. It was the ultimate con. He had his way. It was like taking candy from a baby kind of a thing. But then you said, oh no, he nicked a foot. He was 22 and he's a bad actor. And so that was kind of a letdown.
Honestly, if you wanted to become no, I don't want to say this. I don't want to encourage anybody to go out there and murder people.
Maybe
but
not.
It would
Maybe
make
not.
A good movie plot if a serial killer went into a haunted house and started murdering people. I think that's probably
that's been
has happened. Yeah.
I think that's a tale as old as time. Old 100%. News.
It is fun to see.
That's okay, a good one. That was your a good turn. That was a good story. Yeah, that was thank a good you, one, man. You. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Very good spooky job.
Yay, I did it.
5 ghosts out of 26. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. This one's a little longer, but I think you'll enjoy it. Maybe you won't. You gotta let me know at the end. Okay. So this is entitled Working in a Haunted Mall Isn't All That Great. Part one. I don't have part two, so we're never going to know how it turns out, but this is fine. Here we go. I work in a shopping mall in Central Texas. It's haunted. No, like really haunted. It kind of sucks. I know most of us have worked somewhere haunted before, especially those of us in retail. There was some ghost of a manager who hung themselves in the back room, or the building used to be generic spooky thing. But I think we all know it's really just a rat or something other, or something other mundane reason anything falls off a shelf or motion sensor goes off when no one else is near it. Telling ghost stories is a way for us to break up the monotony of the service industry. That's totally cool. My mall isn't like that. My mall is a grade A certified hotspot for supernatural activity. How do I know this? I've worked there for years and seen some strange stuff. Or heard stories from the other longtime employees. The first thing you have to understand is that my mall isn't anything special, except for the legion of undead that inhabit it.
I was gonna say, you start off with saying my mall is a hot spot for supernatural activity, and then immediately afterwards say, it's nothing special. That sounds pretty fucking special to me.
But he said nothing special, but then he said, except for the legion of undead that inhabit it. What a dope tagline, if I may say.
Yes.
It's not built on some burial ground or old cemetery. We've never been cursed that I know of. There's never been any civil war, massacre, or even a murder, gruesome or otherwise. I don't think anyone's ever actually died in the building, which is maybe the most improbable thing about it. But we have spirits out the wazoo. And everyone who works here just goes with it. I'd been there 2 weeks before I had my first encounter. And man, I'm still mad no one warned me. We were closing up and my manager was in back counting down the till while I mopped the floor and finished straightening up from the Saturday night. Madness. Am I right, fellow shoppers? That was when I heard it. A tick, tick, ticking of hard plastic. It's the sound clothes hangers make when you're going through a rack. You know the sound. I immediately looked around, trying to pinpoint it. We'd thought the store was clear, but twice already we'd closed up, only to find there'd been someone in the dressing room or somehow managed to hide amid the displays. So I was worried I'd have to explain to the kind customer who already thought business hours didn't apply to them that the computer system wouldn't even be able to process a transaction anymore. I read all that strangely and I apologize. There was no one there, though. I shrugged and went back to mopping, straightening a shelf here and there as I went. Then I heard it again. Tick, 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 tick. My head shot up and I looked around, but again, no one. I turned my back to my mop, and just as I started to get back to work, I caught movement out of the corner of my eye.
Nope, get the fuck out of there. Get out.
I spun, mop held before me, like I thought I was some martial arts expert, slinging water I was going to pretend was a relatively clean on some overpriced merchandise to face nothing. Feeling extremely silly, I went back to mopping after peering around to make sure my manager or some passing security guard hadn't witnessed my acrobatics. Then it happened again. Tick, 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 tick. I ignored it this time. Tick, 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 tick. Still ignoring it. It was probably just the AC blowing on one of their taller shelves. That was probably the movement I thought I saw. Yeah, that makes sense. Tick, 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 tick. I rounded an aisle, and I saw her. I couldn't see her face. She was turned away from me, going through the clothes on the back wall. Her hair looked brownish, but also light, like there was some gray in there. But it was almost like it was dyed, not normal aging gray. She was dressed pretty raggedy in really old-looking clothes, like something from the 70s. This was back when the hipster style was starting to get into full swing, so I didn't think much of it. I was more worried about the fact she was dripping water on the floor because I'd just possibly been slinging mop water around in a fairly indiscriminate manner.
Imagine seeing a ghost and your first thought is, this fucking bitch.
Did I splash her
everywhere?
She'd be dripping. I cautiously approached, already dreading the interaction. Ma'am? I'm sorry, but we closed a little while ago. I took some artistic integrity there, kind of giving him a voice.
I love it.
She didn't react, just moved slowly down the rack. A few steps closer, and the smell struck me. Stale air and mildew and something chemical. Any cleaning supply closet you can think of has that smell. I immediately knew I'd got her with the mop and was going to be fired in the next few minutes. I sucked up my fear and took the final step and tapped her on the shoulder. Ma'am, I'm sorry. Are you okay? Would you like me to get the manager? She finally turned, looking right at me, and that was the moment I became a believer. Her face was terrible, pale and greenish and rotten. What few teeth she had stuck out yellow and broken from a mouth with no lips. Her eyes focused on me, sort of, in spite of looking vaguely liquefied, like they might just pour out if she looked down. The worst part was the movement under her skin. Things were clearly crawling around inside her, protruding, bulging out. I felt sick just looking at it. I threw up on her shoes, which I noticed were rather nice leather boots. probably European and still look decent if somewhat rotted.
You have time to take in the fashion of this ghost?
She turned and went back to browsing the store. I finally screamed and broke into a run, only to back into my manager, Teresa, staring at me with a neutral expression. I grabbed her and turned to point at the apparition, only to see she'd vanished. I looked around, hyperventilating. You saw her, right? She was right there, I gasped. Teresa looked uncomfortable, like she really didn't want to have this conversation, and glanced pointedly at the mess I'd made.
You're gonna clean that up, right?
I was kind of feminine, sorry. I stood there, gaping, mop limply held in one hand. She waited for a response, and I, feeling numb, nodded. Somewhat more sympathetically, she told me to, once I finished with that, clock out and come into the back office. When I did, she was sitting in the back room with a bottle of cheap liquor and paper cups on the table and motioned to the chair next to her. I awkwardly sat down and gulped the beverage, coughing as it burned its way down my throat and feeling even more sick to my stomach. This was my first drink. I was a good kid. Leave me alone. She sipped hers, heaved a long sigh, and, almost bored, began to talk. So, I need to tell you about Matilda. Finn.
Wow, that was captivating.
Little long side, but...
A little long, but I think it was worth it. I enjoyed
I think this was recalled in excellent prose. I think the imagery that he casted was wonderful. I like to think if I experienced such a phenomenon, I'd like to think of myself, you know, 24 to 48 hours later, alone in my room with my MacBook, just thinking, this is going to be a good Reddit post, and then just start typing away. And I think you're right. I think one main takeaway in this story is the puking segment of throwing up on the ghost. And I just think it's a good bonding moment between the undead and a breathing man just throwing up on boots.
I think it's very funny. I like the attention to detail that they had. They were like, oh yes. And their boots were just so perfect. They probably cost about $200.
We don't know the price. You never mentioned the price. Don't be putting never words in their the mouth. Price,
but you could tell.
I don't know.
You can tell.
I don't know.
They wanted to say the price.
You got to try to beat this, homie. Okay. I think I'm at number one right now for spookiest story of the season.
I think you're number one for spooky stories. I'm going to read you a true story.
Bull crap.
It's a true story.
I don't believe it.
And it's the one I sent you earlier, so it's a long one. So
yes, very good.
Stand by.
Do you want to... So this is the house, right? The mm-hmm. notes in the house. Do you want to give... Listen, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job.
Sure.
But anyway, do you want to give like a 10 second overview of what this is? Because again, I think I remember hearing about this. I feel like it was on a show. And oh. I don't think it was the Netflix Unsolved Mysteries show. But also, it's probably not that. But it was something like that. Mm-hmm. And so when I read it, I was like, this one's good. This one's good. I don't know. So I don't know. You don't have to.
Well, I'll give there's a little teaser before I start reading.
You're my hero. I love doing this with you.
A family bought their dream house, but according to the creepy letters they started to get, they weren't the only ones interested in it.
Love it. Love it.
One night in June 2014, Derek Broadhouse had just finished an evening of painting at his new home in Westfield, New Jersey. New Jersey's haunted this episode, just saying. It's getting a lot of representation.
Remember that Jersey Devil?
Yeah. Motherfuckers.
Let's talk
around.
About him later. Like, not like tonight, but some other time, you know? Yeah, let's talk about the Jersey Devil.
We'll cover the Jersey Devil.
Talk about the Jersey Devil.
Painting in his new home in Westfield, New Jersey, when he went outside to check the mail, Derek and his wife Maria had closed on the 6-bedroom house at 657 Boulevard 3 days earlier and were doing some renovations before they moved in. So there wasn't much in the mail except a few bills and a white card-shaped envelope. It was addressed in thick, clunky handwriting to the new owner. and the typed note inside began warmly. "Dearest new owner at 657 Boulevard, allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood. For the Braun houses, buying 657 Boulevard had fulfilled the dream. Maria was raised in Westfield, and the house was a few blocks from her childhood home. Derek grew up working class in Maine, then moved his way up the ladder at an insurance company in Manhattan to become a senior vice president with a salary large enough to afford the $1.3 million house. The Broadhuses had bought 657 Boulevard just after Derek celebrated his 40th birthday, and their three kids were already debating which of the house's fireplaces Santa Claus would use. But as Derek kept reading the letter from the new neighbor, it took a turn. "How did you end up here?" the writer asked. "Did 657 call to you with its force within?" The letter went on. "657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now, and as it approaches its 110th birthday, I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming. My grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched it in the 1960s. It is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls of 657 Boulevard? Why are you here? I will find out." The author's reconnaissance had apparently already begun. The letter identified the Broadus's Honda minivan, as well as the workers renovating the home. "I see that you have flooded 657 with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it was supposed to be," the person wrote. "Tisk, tisk, tisk. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy." Earlier in the week, Derek and Maria had gone to the house and chatted with their new neighbors while their children, who were 5, 8, and 10 years old, ran around the backyard with several kids from the neighborhood. The letter writer seemed to have noticed. "You have children. I have seen them. So far, I think there are 3 that I have counted." The anonymous correspondent wrote, before asking if there were more on the way, "Do you need to fill the house with young blood I requested? Better for me. Was your old house too small for the growing family? Or was it greed to bring me your children? Once I know their names, I will call to them and draw to them. I'll draw them to me." The envelope had no return address. "Who am I?" the person wrote. "There are hundreds and hundreds of cars that drive by 657 Boulevard each day. Maybe I am in one. Look at all the windows you can see from 657 Boulevard. Maybe I am in one. Look at any of the many windows in 657 Boulevard, at all the people who stroll by each day. Maybe I am one." The letter concluded with a suggestion that this message would not be the last. "Welcome, my friends, welcome. Let the party begin," followed by a signature typed in a cursive font, "The Watcher." It was after 10 p.m., and Derek Broadus was alone. He raced around the house, turning off lights so no one could see inside. Then called Westfield Police Department. An officer came to the house, read the letter, and said, "What the fuck is this?" He asked Derek if he had enemies and recommended moving a piece of construction equipment from the back porch in case the watcher tried to toss it through a window. Derek rushed back to his wife and kids, who were living at their old home elsewhere in Westfield. That night, Derek and Maria wrote an email to John and Andrea Woods, the couple who had sold them 657 Boulevard, to ask if they had any idea who the watcher might be, or why he or she had written. "I asked the Woods to bring me young blood, and it looks like they listened." Andrea Woods replied the next morning. a few days before moving out, the Woodses had also received a letter from the Watcher. The note had been odd, she said, and made similar mention of the Watcher's family observing the house over time. But Andrea said she and her husband had never received anything like it in their 23 years in the house, and had thrown the letter away without much thought. That day, the Woodses went with Maria to the police station, where Detective Leonard Lugo told her not to tell anyone about the letters, including her new neighbors, most of whom she had never met, and all of whom were now suspects. The Broaddus's spent the coming weeks on high alert. Derek canceled a work trip, and whenever Maria took the kids to their new house, she would yell their names if they wandered into a corner of the yard. When Derek gave a tour of the renovation to a couple on the block, he froze when the wife said, "It'll be nice to have some young blood in the neighborhood." The Broaddus's general contractor arrived one morning to find that a heavy sign he'd hammered into the front yard had been ripped out overnight. 2 weeks after the letter arrived, Maria stopped by the house to look at some paint samples and check the mail. She recognized the thick black lettering on a card-shaped envelope and called the police. "Welcome again to your new home at 657 Boulevard," the Watcher wrote. "The workers have been busy, and I have been watching you unload carfuls of your personal belongings. The dumpster is a nice touch. Have they found what is in the walls yet? In time they will." This time, the Watcher had addressed Derek and Maria directly, misspelling their names as Mr. and Mrs. Broaddus. Had the Watcher been close enough to hear one of the Broaddus' contractors addressing them? The Watcher boasted of having learned a lot about the family in the preceding weeks, especially about their children. The letter identified the Broaddus' three kids by birth order and by their nicknames, the ones Maria had been yelling. "I am pleased to know your names now and the name of the young blood you have brought to me," it said. "You certainly say their names often," the letter asked about one child in particular, whom the writer had seen using an easel inside of an enclosed porch. "Is she the artist in the family?" the letter continued. 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all the secrets in it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement? Or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream. Will they sleep in the attic? Or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedrooms facing the window, facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which bedroom. Then I can plan better. All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house. Who am I? I am the Watcher. And I have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on, and kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day. 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, my obsession. And now you are too, Broaddus family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought the past three families to 657 Boulevard, and now it has brought you to me. Have a happy moving in day. You know I will be watching. Derek and Maria stopped bringing their kids to the house. They were no longer sure when or if they would move in. Several weeks later, a third letter arrived. "Where have you gone to?" the Watcher wrote. 657 Boulevard is missing you. Many Westfield residents compare their town to Mayberry, the idyllic setting for the Andy Griffin Show, the kind of place where a new neighbor might greet you with a welcoming note. Westfield is 45 minutes from New York and a bit too slow for singles, meaning the town's 30,000 residents are largely well-to-do families. This year, Bloomberg ranked Westfield the 99th richest city in America, but only the 18th wealthiest in New Jersey. And in 2014, when the watcher struck, the website Neighborhood Scout named it the country's 30th safest town. The most pressing local issues of late, according to residents, have been the temporary closure of Trader Joe's after a roof collapse and the rampant scourge of unconstitutional policing, by which they mean aggressive parking enforcement. Westfield is 86% white. The most haunted demographic of people, just saying. One activity all locals recognize as treacherous is trying to buy a house. There's a lot of money and a lot of ego, one resident said, who requested anonymity before discussing Westfield real estate, told me. I've seen bidding wars where friends lost by $300,000. The Broaddus' house was on the boulevard, a wide street-lined street. A wide tree-lined street with some of the more desirable homes in town. As the watcher had noted, the boulevard used to be the street to live on. You made it if you lived on the boulevard. My cat's trying to get out. Hold on.
I'll fill dead air by saying things like this. Things
like this. Okay. This article goes on for a lot longer.
Yeah.
I can skip ahead a little bit. And I don't know. You read it, right? Did you read it?
That's the majority of the story that I had heard prior. I don't remember if the Broaddus family, or however it's pronounced, ever moved in or not, or if they ever quote unquote solved this mystery. So if you have any information in regards to those things, I'd be willing to hear it. And if not, I'll just go screw myself.
So I'm not going to read the whole rest of the article because it is very, very long. And this episode will end up being like 2 hours long. So I will say this. It yes. is a good article. You can find it online. It's from The Cut. As far as I know, they decided to sell the house and there are new owners. And I haven't heard anything about the new owners getting a letter yet.
So what is your take with all of this? Because I think there are two different streams of thought one can go down once, you know, being hit with this stuff. One is, wow, the world be crazy. And then you just kind of shrug and then go have dinner at Applebee's. Or did this really happen? And is this quote unquote watcher just at the end of the day messing with people, whoever move into this house? And it's like three teenagers that live in the town who made up the story. What does your Halloween gut tell you?
I would say that regardless of whether there are a few thoughts I have, right? My first thought is like, this is probably someone who wanted the house and lost the bidding war, or like sure. did not have enough money to afford it and is jealous and is upset about people living there. And they're just looking to get their kind of rage out by spooking the tenants. Maybe they're hoping to bother everyone enough. They're like, this is my Scooby-Doo thought, is that like they're trying to scare every person who buys the home into selling it. And they'll be sure. so desperate to sell it that they're willing to take a lowball offer.
Sure.
So maybe that's what's going on.
But so it's an aggressive game of house hunters, you're saying.
Sorry. Maybe the most aggressive and deadly game of house hunters.
I'll stab your foot.
But it's also honestly just terrifying. Like, in order to send letters to a family threat, like
it's kinda, pretty good.
I mean, not kind of. They are threatening the children yeah. of this home.
So let's yeah, really quick.
It's sorry, crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
And
so
scary.
Before I forget, regardless if this is like real or not, blah, blah, blah. What's in the walls? What's up with the house?
Scary.
What
stuff.
Is it? Like, what is it though? Is it like the house is alive?
Is it could it be a dead like body in there.
The dead body house energy. Mm-hmm. Like what, you know? Like, are we 2006ing monster housing this? Or what's the approach? I'm thinking
a dead body that was buried there long ago. And you have to watch, they have to watch the house, because if they don't watch the house, they might find the body. That's what I'm thinking. What would you do in this situation? You buy the house and you get threatening letters.
I'd sell the house. I don't have pride. I'm not risking. Look, you were willing to die over poop. I'm not willing to die over a house. I'll sell the house and I'll move on.
I am also not willing to die over a house, but I am willing to die over poop.
I understand. And I think that's your call to make and mine to admire.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do you want to read one more?
I have two smaller ones. It's up to you. They're just
I am terrified by my story. Like, if I'm being honest, terrifying. I am scared of the thought of, like, saving enough money, going through all of that bullshit, working hard in life,
signing papers, finally buying the house through the process,
finally buying the house of your dreams, and then you just get these creepy letters. Like, I would also sell the house. I wouldn't know what to do. It's scary as fuck. This is the scariest thing we've read on the podcast.
You would be the next Netflix movie about spooky houses. Anyway, this may or may not lighten the mood. Not really. So I was going to find stories. No, let me start again. I find stories about, like, what? There's the one story about, I'm going to get all this mixed up, so forgive me. But, like, there were the stories a while back about, like, the underground, like, not cities, but the underground, like, hospitals in that one town, like, from, I don't think it was World War II. Maybe it was World War II, though. But it's like real life underground bunker hospitals.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, do you remember what I'm talking about, ish?
Vaguely, yeah.
But like, it was a real thing. Like, it was in a town in the middle of nowhere, and the hospitals, like, or whatever, was underneath, like, underground. Mm-hmm. But there were places in the houses, like the houses, the basements of the houses would lead down into this underground place or hospital, mm-hmm. or whatever. I find stuff like that fascinating, regardless if it's spectery or not.
Yeah,
just because there's a lot in the world that I don't understand or know about, rightfully so none of these stories are about that, but I find that really interesting. And also I also find haunted woods really interesting, just like nature-y things. So I have two little pieces about spooky woods.
I was gonna say, I quickly looked up underground hospitals, and they have been a thing for a little while, but mainly during World War II.
Okay, so, I mean, it's a real thing. And, like, mm-hmm. I remember hearing, and it was probably, like, on a freaking BuzzFeed video, I don't remember, but, like, they connected the basements of the houses to the hospital so that when people died in the houses, they could just go up and get them and bring them out. That was the whole thing.
That's pretty awesome.
So, anyway, it's wild. So, mm-hmm. I'm going to pronounce all this incorrectly because it's places I don't know how to pronounce. This is about the Hoai Bacu Forest in Romania. So, located in northwestern Romania, the Hoai Bacu, it's not how you say it for sure, is known as the Bermuda Triangle of Romania, in that strange disappearances are said to have occurred here. Like a shepherd who's said to have disappeared with a flock of 200 sheep, and a 5-year-old girl who disappeared here only to emerge 5 years later without having aged. Visitors often report intense feelings of anxiety and the feeling of being constantly watched.
I mean, I would feel anxious too if I was feeling like I was constantly being watched. Makes sense.
The forest's website warns, and the locals tend to stay away because they fear that if they enter, they will never find their way out. Now, obviously, with stuff like this, you kind of got to take it with a pinch of salt. Like, is mm-hmm. the girl thing real? I find that fascinating too. The go in, come out 5 years later, have an age, because, like, we've seen movies that have, you know, the mess with those kinds of ideas. So I find that wild. Last one is about the Schwarzwald in Germany.
I was gonna say, if there is a place I can go in and come out and not age for 5 years, I'm in there.
Yeah, but I'm going. I think the question is, are you coming out of the forest?
Maybe I don't have what it takes like the little girl did.
Maybe you don't. This is the one in Germany. Named for its almost impenetrable darkness, the Schwarzwald, Black Forest, is the site of some of the scariest fairy tales the Brothers Grimm ever wrote. But legend has it, the forest is actually haunted by werewolves, witches, and the devil himself. The tale of Der Grossmann, according to TripSavvy, is that of a tall, horribly disfigured man with bulging eyes and many arms who compelled children to enter the forest, confess their sins, and never emerge again.
That's just a priest in the woods doing free work.
That's fine, but let's not overlook the progression of threats in this forest. Uh-huh. Werewolves, witches, and the devil himself. I feel like there were some in-betweens.
It really escalated over there.
It skyrocketed over the in-betweens. Like, I don't know.
Bigfoot tried to move in and was like, oh, it's too busy here.
I mean, not even Bigfoot. Like, garden gnomes? I don't know. Those are kind of fairy tale-esque.
That's a lot. That's a lot going on in the forest.
It's a lot. So, also with the horribly disfigured man, bulging eyes. I think what we have learned in this spooky episode is, number one, don't move into any houses that you're not ready to immediately move out of due to unknown threats.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, never go into a patch of woods unless you know you can de-age inside of them. Number three, never bring a weapon to work. What are your thoughts? What are your final thoughts here?
I would add number four. If nothing will stop you from pooping, that's important.
Okay. Okay. So what we learned, number four, was that nothing can stop us from pooping. Is that what you said?
Nothing will stop Marcus from pooping.
Nothing will stop Marcus from pooping.
And I want everyone to know that. Like, if you are trying, I know this podcast is very successful. I know we're super famous. That's right.
Bursting at the seams.
If
holy
you
cow.
Are trying to get an autograph from me, I will not stop mid-poop to sign. I will sign while pooping.
I think that's a fair middle ground, if I can be, you know, free to say.
Thank you. I appreciate
Marcus,
it.
Marcus, listen, we did it. We'll see everyone next Halloween. We're on the Woo! Twitters. We're on the Facebooks. We're at weirdzillapodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us a little something funny or not. Send Marcus that shirt of that pooping quote. Is that what you said? Did you do?
I don't remember
quote?
What I said. I just shoot things out of my mouth and I don't remember what I said at all.
You're a comedy machine. And what you have to remember that Weirdzilla is always spooking. Therefore, you
must never stop pooping.